I've never met our next guest. I don't know our next guest. I'm pretty sure he's a nice guy, and this is why I make this assumption. He owns an independent bookstore, and he lives in Kansas. Those two things right there would tell you that he's just a hell of a nice guy. I hope nothing over the next 16 minutes will dispute that fact. Danny Kane is the owner of Raven Bookstore in Lawrence, Kansas. He has been an outspoken critic of the seemingly unstoppable Goliath of the bookselling world, better known as Amazon. In his new book, How to Resist Amazon and Why, he lays out the case for shifting our personal money and civic investment away from global corporate behemoths into small local independent businesses. His tale covers the history of big box stores, the big political drama of delivery, and the perils of warehouse work. On Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, he will be part of a virtual event with Susanna Hermans, who I do know and I do think is one of my favorite human beings on the planet, owner of Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck and Millerton. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Danny Kane to the roundtable this morning. How are you, sir?
Good. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's very nice to have you on the program. Very, very nice to have you on the show. So how long have you been a bookseller in Lawrence, Kansas?
I started bookselling as a part-time bookseller in March 2015 and fell in love with the business and bought the store in August of 2017. So about 3.5 years as a store owner.
And as far as the history of the store, how long has it been part of the Lawrence community, which is a college town, my understanding, correct?
Right. Yeah, we're home to University of Kansas. The Raven has been here since 1987. For decades, we've been telling this story about the importance of small businesses versus big corporate competition. We operated from 1997 to 2011 across the street, literally directly across the street from a Borders Books and Music.
Yeah.
So the small versus big is just part of our story.
My brother just texted me to remind me that we actually were in your store. So, now I remember. That's great. It's a lovely community. It's a lovely city, lovely town, and a lovely store. What are the challenges that you have? Besides, you write the book about Amazon, obviously, but I mean, small business is small business. So how does that add to the difficulty and challenges of running a business?
Especially over the last year, the challenges have been immense. A year ago, we had to completely pivot our business model from 99% in-store browsing sales to 99% online sales. And of course, going to compete in that online marketplace of books, everything that Amazon does is cheaper and faster than us. So it's our challenge to explain our value to our customers and make the case that we are important to our community in a way that they should support us and follow us online as we pivot to a new form of business that keeps our booksellers and our customers safe.
It is no secret, of course, that Amazon has been the devil, if you will, the main nemesis of small independent businesses and especially bookstores, because that's how they got started. What makes their work in your mind and in the minds of many booksellers so insidious, in what they are able to do that you are not?
Well, I think one of the biggest concerns is how Amazon, on a large scale, is working to devalue the book in many ways. One of those ways is the very steep discounts they offer on many books and in kind of modifying and tweaking the price of books to better fit their needs. And for many reasons, an independent bookstore is bound to the actual price of a book, the price which is often printed on the cover of that book. And in order to make our tight margins, we basically have to sell books at that cost. And that's due to any number of reasons, from the cost of doing business to rising commercial rents. Margins are tight, and lowering the cost of books is not really an option for us that would feasibly let us stay in business. But Amazon is so massive and has so many immensely profitable revenue streams that they can operate their retail arm basically at a loss, to no detriment to them. And so they're hooking people with cheap retail goods and free shipping. And then those people are on what Amazon calls the flywheel. They're kind of stuck in Amazon's system. And Amazon is able to collect data from them through Prime subscriptions and browsing habits and Alexa microphones and Ring doorbells. And once they hook customers with those cheap retail goods, they're stuck, and they're creating this immensely valuable data for Amazon, while their experiments in book pricing are creating havoc for bookstores that are trying to sell books for the actual price. So that kind of large-scale devaluing of the book is creating havoc in our industry, making it really difficult for bookstores and other small retailers to operate and make a profit and pay their employees.
How does it impact publishers? Because I always thought initially, as this debate started, that publishers would be like, well, obviously we're going to support our independents because they're the ones who are going to sell the book for what it's worth, and we're going to get more. We would have less of a discount with them, and that would be better, so we're going to stand in line with them. Well, that really hasn't been the case, and so I'm curious as to what is in it for the publishers and how they feel about Amazon and their grip on the bookselling industry?
Well, yeah, it's a great question. Being a bookseller, I can't necessarily speak for publishers, but I think the answer to your question is just a matter of scale. Amazon accounts for 50% of all book sales in the United States and in between 75 and 90% of online book sales. And so regardless of what gripe a publisher has with Amazon, there's only so much you can do with a company that represents a majority of your sales. And so in many ways, I think publishers are forced to kind of grin and bear it. And Amazon isn't afraid to fight back. There was a well-documented case where they were in some kind of dispute with Hachette Book Group, which is right, one of the big five publishers. And Amazon canceled all pre-orders for Hachette titles and bumped all Hachette titles to the second and third pages of Amazon search results. And if you look at how much clicks and purchases go down after you pass that second page, it's basically boycotting Hachette Books to kind of squeeze them and put pressure on them. And there's not much a publisher can do in that situation. So regardless of how a publisher feels about Amazon, there's not much they can do because they do have this monopolizing market share.
You know, one of the things that I have found interesting, I've hosted this show for 20 plus years, and from the very beginning of the show, upon its inception, we have had local booksellers every week come on and give book picks, and independent booksellers who would come on and give book picks. And what I'm proud of is that when I look at the list of stores that were with us, very few have gone by the wayside, and many have really thrived and have grown over that time. Now, we're here in the Northeast. We cover, say, New York and New England, and so the stores are doing okay. Now, I don't think if you talk to any of them, they're going to say, you know, yay, we're making $1 billion, but they're surviving. My question is, what allows that? Because these stores seem to have incredible, loyal supporters who want to make sure that these stores stay in business and that they are there for them. So the title of your book is How to Resist Amazon and Why. So how do we get more people like that, like the people who help these stores in this fight for the local economy and making things better?
Well, I think those great bookstores, and thank you for your partnership with independent bookstores. I really love to hear that. And you do have a wealth of great stores in New York. I'm so excited to talk at Oblong next week. I think a bookstore can do it if they do a good job of telling their story and making a case to their community why businesses in places like this matter and are important. But one of the reasons why, I mean, this project started as a zine, a little $3 pamphlet, and then it grew into a book. One of the reasons why I decided to take this discussion to this format is so booksellers could begin to have that conversation with their communities and to kind of facilitate the exchange of this conversation, not just behind the sales counter among the booksellers, but across the counter in between booksellers and their communities and to bring that conversation to a wider audience. And I think the book is one part of it, but in many, many ways, this discussion is gaining momentum and people are beginning to pay attention to these issues much more. So this kind of just talking about it and becoming aware of the issues of big tech monopolies and Amazon in particular is important, and I'm doing what I can to spread that dialogue.
You know, we talk about books, obviously, and that's a main part of their business, and certainly your business, and how those two intersect. But in your book, you're also talking about much larger issues too of what impact it has on the local economy at large, what impact it has on data privacy, fair labor. These are all issues we've been, I think many people are following the union votes that have been going on with Amazon over the past several days. This all makes it difficult to quite understand. It shouldn't say difficult, but we get to see through that and get to understand just how powerful they are, and to prove your point from just a moment ago of what leverage they're allowed to achieve because of that behemoth nature.
Yeah, I mean, this is a bigger problem than just bookstores beefing with their competitor. I don't want that to be the perception of what I'm doing. And I also don't want the perception to be that individual consumer choices are the solution. I encourage people to divest if they feel so inclined from a company with so many abuses of power. I certainly don't spend any money at Amazon. But this is really a government problem with a government solution. And the main question of the book, and I think we all need to be asking, is why has Amazon been allowed to get away with this and to get so large and so powerful? And I think that's a government question. And the real answer to it is policy.
One of the stories that you tell in the book, and one of the things that you look at, which is really fascinating, and you talk about this, the drama, I believe you call it, of delivery. We may have our feelings about President Trump, but he was on this for a long time about how Amazon was able to get the deal that they did with the post office. And I just, at the most micro level, I go into my local post office at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There is a bunch of people who are headed out for their third route of the day because they have to deliver the Amazon packages that just arrived 3 hours late. How does that work?
Well, it's Amazon. It's a question of a company with massive scale disrupting an industry and bending it to their will. And many of the deliveries from Amazon that fall to the Postal Service are deliveries that Amazon can't make easily. So they kind of punt them to the Postal Service because the Postal Service has a mandate to deliver to every address. And those Prime vans that you see everywhere certainly don't. And so often Amazon will take care of the cheapest or the easiest deliveries and kind of force the USPS to play catch up for them. With just the scale and the dire straits that the Postal Service is currently in, which I would certainly blame the previous president for those dire straits.
Absolutely,
the Postal Service isn't in a position to say no. It's just like the publishers. Amazon is so big and shipping so many packages and has so much power in the logistics and shipping industry that at least the Postal Service has interpreted it as that they have to play along. They were, initially Amazon was seen as a savior to the Postal Service, but then I think ultimately they're one of the reasons it was so weakened to cause this crisis that we're currently seeing unfold.
We only have about a minute and a half left, and I know I just want to direct people to the conversation that you'll be having with Susanna Hermans, who's our good friend and is the owner of Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck and Millerton, and will be part of this virtual event with you. It's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and it's called How to Resist Amazon and Why. And all people have to do is go to oblongbooks.com and find out more information. And they can also find out more information about the book itself there as well, oblongbooks.com. So in the final minute that we have, how optimistic are you that we can resist Amazon en masse?
I'm really optimistic. I see a lot of great, great momentum from the government. I think Rep. David Cicilline, who's the chair of the House Judiciary Antitrust Subcommittee, is doing amazing work. They're drafting great legislation they're going to introduce soon. They issued a monumental report at the end of last year. If you look at appointments, Lina Khan, who's the chief antitrust architect, has been nominated for the FTC. I think we're seeing indications that the government is taking this seriously and potential for bipartisan action in ways we haven't seen ever, or at least in many decades. I am hopeful. I'm glad to see people talking about it. I'm glad to see more pressure increasing on Amazon, and I'm glad to see this kind of government momentum. Because, again, I would love to see policy to address this issue.
Well, you have a beautiful bookstore in Lawrence, Kansas. It is the Raven Bookstore. And Danny Kane is also the author of the new book, How to Resist Amazon and Why, which will be the title of the talk that he'll be giving with Susanna Hermans, owner of Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck and Millerton, on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And you can find out more information about all of it by going to oblongbooks.com. Danny Kane, I greatly respect the terrific work you're doing, and I thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Be well. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.